Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Father, we honor you. We ask, O God, that you speak your word in the name of Jesus. Lord, our hearts, may we be textured, King of Glory, to receive your word. And may we be transformed by the entrance of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is my own way of doing it. In the book of Genesis chapter 1, scripture says, and the earth was without form, and the spirit of the Lord was what? Brooding over it. And it came, I'm talking about Genesis chapter 1, we know the story of creation, and God created everything, the heaven and the earth. He said, let there be light, and there was light. In chapter 2, it talks about the creation of man. And God created man, and he put him what? In the Garden of Eden. And he gave him work. He said what? Be fruitful and multiply. But as something we realize in chapter 3, what God desired from man was what? Fellowship. In the evening, scripture say, as custom, as usually do, he comes what? To come and fellowship with man. But unfortunately, in that chapter 3 was the fall of man. And man fell. Man fell. And he was asked to vacate the Garden of Eden. One man vacated the Garden of Eden. Scripture said, remember in chapter 2, God said, let us make man in our own image, in the likeness of God. Man was to portray the likeness of God. Man was to represent God on earth. No wonder the scripture says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, God was to bring the structure, the formation, everything as it is done in heaven, he wanted to replicate it here on earth. But unfortunately, man transgressed against God. Then we now see in chapter 4, man began to produce. He gave birth to his first issue, Cain. From Cain, gave birth to who? Abel. But due to the result of the sin, Cain killed Abel. Again, Adam looked unto God and gave him another son called Seth. Then Seth begat another son called Enosh. And the scriptures recorded that immediately Enosh was given birth to, man began to call on the name of the Lord. Now understand this. Man was not calling on the name of the Lord for centuries. What I mean centuries, you understand a century is what? 100 years. Adam was 500 and something when he gave birth to his son, Seth. So you should understand that for centuries, man was not calling on the name of the Lord. Now, when Enosh was born, man began to call upon the name of the Lord. We go down to chapter 6. That we now realize that man had what? Expanded. We now realize that man had replenished the earth. Understand this. Man replenished the earth. But unfortunately, sin what? Expanded. And God was sad that he made man. What did he do? But understand this. Now, we look at the generation, genealogy of who? Of Adam in chapter 4. Now, you realize that he said, Adam begat who? He begat Seth. Seth begat Enosh and so on and so forth. We got to Enoch. And scripture said, and the scripture singled out in Enoch, said that, and Enoch walked with God. And while walking with God, he was in time. But while walking with God, he walked outside time. Hallelujah. He walked outside time. And this was a replica of how God wants us to walk with him. He wants us to walk with him to that point that time no longer what matters. Hallelujah. But man did not understand this. Then we had an intercessor called who was the man that lived long on earth? Who? Methuselah. Methuselah. Bible history tells us that Methuselah was an intercessor. If we calculate it, the year Methuselah died was the year the flood came. If you do the calculation, you realize that the year that Methuselah died was the year the flood came. And the Lord wiped up the earth. But one man found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Who was that? Noah. Now, the scripture said, and man began to multiply again. We now got to the point where Abraham was given birth to. And God called Abraham. He said what? Depart. He said, leave your household. There's a journey. Leave your household to the place where I will show you a journey. He put him on a journey. Now, God singled out Abraham because he wanted a generation that will serve the Lord. He wanted a generation for himself. Now, he wanted to replicate something. After Abraham got to that point that he no longer cared any longer. It doesn't matter whether his body was weak. When he got to that point and God gave him a child called Isaac. From Isaac, we had Jacob. Sorry, forgive me, but I'm just going through the scripture. When I had Jacob, and Jacob had 12 sons. When Jacob had 12 sons, one of the sons was who? Levi. And the children of Levi, in the book of Exodus, they were appointed to be what? Priests. Hallelujah. They were appointed to be priests. Understand this. Keep that aside. Now, when I have another son who was Judah, we had Judah, and through the lineage of Judah, I'll get back to that. Now, people multiplied, and for 400 years, the children of Israel were in Egypt. While in Egypt, they were in slavery. Now, we look at the pattern. They were in slavery, and the Lord sent plagues, 10 plagues, and the Lord what? Brought them out. By the mighty hand of God, he brought them out. Then they were baptized in the Red Sea. They passed through the Red Sea, which was a baptism, the baptism of water. Keep that aside. They came out. The book of Leviticus talk about what? The laws that the Lord gave so that they can walk in accordance to his ways. Hallelujah. Now, Moses died. He handed over to Joshua. Joshua said, for me and my house, we will what? Serve the Lord. Now, after Joshua died, scripture said, they were without leaders, but the Lord now gave them judges. He gave them judges. Now, when we get to the book of Judges chapter 13, scripture said, there was a man called what? Manoah. And he told him, and the angel of the Lord appeared to the wife, and they said, what? I'm giving you a son, and this son will be a Nazarene, set apart for me. Understand this. Keep that aside. Now, it continued. People were now doing the things on their own. If we go towards the end of the end chapter of the book of Judges, that was an interesting story. There was a man whose concubine ran out of the house. Now he went to retrieve her back, but unfortunately he went to the land of the Benjamites, yeah. And what did these people do? They slept with this woman till daybreak, and she died. This man got angry. What did he do? He started to slice her into pieces. Terrible thing in the land of Israel. God looked at this. He said, no, I need a man. I need a man. I need a priest. I need a prophet. When I get to the book of 1 Samuel. And the Lord, when we got to the book of Samuel, and the Lord's what? He didn't give Anna any issue, but she now called and said, okay, not my will, but yours be done in my own context. And the Lord said, okay, now that I have found a man, I have found someone who is ready to be a carrier of that I want on earth. Now, we now have someone called Samuel, who was a priest, he was a judge, but in this context, a king. At the same time, right? Let me just skip that. Now, the people wanted a king out of their own selfish desire. Now, remember this. Abraham wanted a son. Through Hagar, he got Ishmael. But what did the Lord need? God wanted Isaac. People wanted a king. God gave them Saul. Unfortunately, Saul was not working according to the will of the Lord. The Lord said, I found a man after my own heart. That man after my own heart, searching the heart of the Lord, doing the will of the Lord on earth. Now we now see, it now goes further. We now had Solomon. But unfortunately, due to Solomon's disobedience, at the end of his life, he gave birth to a son called you got that name right. Whatever. Now, as I was saying, please, just follow me. Unfortunately, this Solomon's son, out of lack of wisdom, Israel was divided into two. We now have the Judah apart, then the 10 tribes aside. God now focused on Judah, because through that lineage, the house of David, the Lord had promised David that through your house will my servant be born. Hallelujah. Okay. Now we now saw this, that we now had kings till the time that Israel, that Jerusalem fell, and they went into captivity for 72 years. And a man stood up and he understood by books, and he prayed in person of Daniel. And Daniel prayed. He understood this. He stood in the place of a priest. Daniel was not a priest. He stood in the place of a priest. Remember this. God set aside the Levites, that they don't have inheritance, but their inheritance is who? Hallelujah. You're following me? Are you following me? Now, when I had that, they came back during the time of Cyrus, just like the Lord said. During the time of Cyrus, they came back and they rebuilt the temple. But unfortunately, the temple was not, the beauty was not as it was in the beginning. Hallelujah. Now, we now had Dark Ages. And when I get to the book, to the New Testament, and we now have what? The birth of Christ. Now, God's will manifested in the flesh on earth. Now, when I have a life that we should pattern our life according to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus Christ died. He rose again. And when you look at the book of Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. He now said what? Tarry ye here. He said what? Tarry ye here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? He said, tarry ye here. And they tarried. And scripture recorded in the book of Acts chapter 2. He said, while they were in upper room and while they were praying, what happened? The Holy Spirit descended like a wild wind. Now, they could not do this. Now, Peter, who denied Christ, Peter, who could not face a small girl, now could stand boldly and proclaim the word, to the point that 3,000 people gave their life to Christ within a day. Was it through his power? By who? The Holy Ghost. That was what Christ promised them. He said, tarry ye here. Understand this. Tarry. Hallelujah. Okay. So now you now understand how the disciples of Jesus and the believers, how the message was spread across. Hallelujah. When I get to the book of Revelation, now when I have churches in Antioch, in Ephesus, when I have the churches, now, and pastor was preaching on Tuesday on book of Revelation chapter 2. Can you open the book of Revelation chapter 2 for me? Hallelujah. We understand the scripture, right? The Bible is very interesting, right? The book of Revelation, chapter 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, right? Sorry, verse 12. Sorry. Verse 12. I want to start from verse 12. I want to start from where pastor stopped on Tuesday. Verse 12. Unto the angel of the church in Pergamos, right? This thing said he, which had the sharp sword. with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith. And even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you. Antipas, a faithful martyr. Hallelujah. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit. Next one, please. And to commit, right? So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is calling us to walk in righteousness. So, which will lead me to my topic this morning? The doctrine of sanctification. The doctrine of sanctification. We'll go to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 to 7. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For God had not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Sorry, I said chapter 4, verse 3. Starting from verse 3 to 7. 3 to 7, please. Shall I just concentrate on my own scripture? Now, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. Verse 7, the last verse there. For God had not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So, sanctification. What is sanctification? I have a definition here. Sanctification, in a Greek word, most of you must have heard it, in the Greek word, is called hagiazo. Amen. Sanctification is the process of being set apart for God's purpose and becoming holy. Sanctification is the process of being set apart. Hagiazo is a word that means what? Separation. Being set apart. It involves spiritual growth, purification, and transformation, enabling believers to live a life that honors God. To live a life that honors God. Sanctification is the process of being set apart for God's purpose and becoming holy. It involves spiritual growth, purification, and transformation, enabling believers to live a life that what? Honors God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Pastor used to say that worship is a journey, right? The same thing, sanctification is a journey. When a man gives his life to Christ, scripture says that we are being saved by what? We are being saved by grace. But once we are being saved, that moment when you say, you make that confession, because Christ said that with mouth will make what? First. Hallelujah. But now, it doesn't stop there. It does not end there. I'm a smoker. I'm a womanizer. Immediately I give my life to Christ, Does it automatically change? Am I automatically transformed? That is the question. And that is the narrative a lot of people carry. Thinking, because we have this situation that people that we preach to, that we minister to, when you go back to them tomorrow again, you ask them, are you born again? They said, well, you know, as humans, scripture says, no one is righteous, right? That's what they will tell you. None is righteous. Means that they can't walk in righteousness. That's what they're trying to tell you. So they are no more born again. That's what they're trying to tell you. But that's not what the scripture tells us. That is not what the scripture tells us. So now, what they lack is the knowledge. And that's why we're here this morning. Hallelujah. Sanctification is a process. It's a process. A process means that it's a journey. So it's a continuous. So I can't tell you that, yes, I was born again 10 years ago. Yes, I was born again 5 years ago. Yes, I was born again 20 years ago. But I am not there where God wants me to be. Scripture says we keep beholding him. That we may be what? Transformed. Keep beholding. He didn't say behold. Keep what? Behold. It doesn't say behold. Like when you say behold, when you want to watch film, how many hours am I going to apportion for this film? Let me see. 1 hour or 2 hours. Alright, I have that time. You sit down. That's not what God is asking. Keep what? Beholding. Let it be your lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. Hallelujah. So what are the key points here in this definition I gave? One is separation. Two, purification. Three, transformation. And four, spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what are the characteristics of sanctification? What are the characteristics of sanctification? Like I mentioned, the first point is separation. First point is what? Separation. Hallelujah. Be ye what? Separated. The Bible says in the book of Psalms chapter 1. Let me quickly go there myself. Psalms chapter 1 verse 1. It said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor seated in the way of sinners. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seated in the seat of the what? Scornful. Now, where you see sin, scripture said, flee. Scripture says what? Flee. Flee means that you are not going to stay there. You are not going to stay there to analyze. I have this challenge, actually. Me, that most of us that come from the north. Let me tell you the challenge we have. I have friends. Back then, we used to play ball together. Sorry, not football. We used to play ball together. And 2 days later, I just asked, where is this? I mean, some period, I asked, where is this person? They just said, the guy is no more. What happened? No man, he fell into their hands. When the thing touches their head, on a Saturday or on a Friday, immediately after most, something happens. And before you know, someone is no more. So we are living our life like tomorrow. We are not expecting tomorrow. Well, we had letter was written that people should not go to church on Sunday. They were coming. I don't know. It happened in Bauchi. I don't know. Where, the year 2011. They wrote a letter when they burned Winners Chapel. But the following Sunday, people were still there. Now, sometimes that's why when I came to the South, I just looked at it. I said, well, Christianity here in the South and the North, these are two different things. Trust me, when I say two different things, they're two different things. So we are living a life that we are not sure. We are not sure of tomorrow, but we keep living. We are not sure that I'm going to see tomorrow. I'm not sure I'm going to see my brother, but we keep living. Hallelujah. Now, so no coming around here now. So, like as I was saying, I'm scared of one thing about myself. What am I trying to say? When I see something happening and I see people start running there, people are running. I'm this kind of person that I'll now go there. What exactly is happening? I'm serious. Is that bad? The reason I'm saying this is this. There, when you people are running, you don't know where to run to. By the time you run this way, they might be there. If you run this way, so you need to sit, analyze, where exactly am I going to? Where are people coming? There are people around, okay. Am I seeing anyone come? But as a believer, remember scripture said what? Flee. So I'm not going to sit down to analyze. Amen. Amen. These are two different things, right? Joseph, what did Joseph do? Joseph fled. So, scripture said what? Flee from every appearance of what? Evil. Remove the evil. From appearance of what? Sin. Every appearance of sin, flee from it. Don't wait. Don't analyze. Don't quote scriptures. I have the grace. What grace? You know, some of us, the Lord has helped us. Hallelujah. You know, a lady can stand naked in my front. I'll walk. Ah, my brother. Myself, I don't trust myself. Hallelujah. Purification. What? Be separated. Be what? Separated. Now, let me tell you about separation. There's something we believers are the ones that are so flimsy about this word. When I was in school, there was a very close friend of mine, a bosom friend, that we do things together. But when he got to her institution, he was influenced and he joined cult. And I was this kind of person that I play. I'm very, very sarcastic. I play a lot. Do you understand? I play a lot. I'm very, very unserious. When I mean unserious, I'm this kind of unserious person. And he was that kind of person. But all of a sudden, I just saw this guy. This guy started withdrawing from me. That they were not the big boys. They were the big boys on campus. We were the small boys. We have not grown. They have grown. They've seen it all. We have not seen anything. They now separate themselves from us. They work in their own company. How about you, Christians? If unbelievers could understand this and work in their own company, why are believers trying to stand alone? Why are believers separating themselves from the gathering of brethren? Why are believers not holding themselves accountable to each other? Anything that happens to one of them, you see all of them, what? They will gather. No, something happens to one of our brothers, we'll be the first people to castigate that person, to kill that person with the word from our mouth. We judge the person already completely. To us, the person is dead. Be separated. Be separated from sin. Be a what? Separated from sin. The next point here, characteristics of sanctification, is devotion to God. Now, it's no more I that live, but what? Christ that lives in me. It's no more I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Now, the life I live, this step I'm taking, it's not me taking the step. It is the Lord that is taking the step. The Lord is ordering my step. The scripture said what? As many as are led by what? The Spirit of God are called what? The sons of God. Not children, but sons. People have understood that whatever I am doing, I'm a representation of my Father. I carry His name. I remember back then, when you are living, your parents would, the advice they always give you, they always say, remember the son of whom you are. They didn't say, remember the baby of whom you are. Remember the son of whom you are. That name, you are a representation of who? Of whom you represent. So, be devoted to God. Scripture says, okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. It says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and what? Rose again. Now, let me look at this situation. Look at this scenario. I am Pastor Tope, are together, right? And I commit an offense. I killed someone. And Pastor Tope comes. In my place, he said, okay, I'm sorry. Punish me. You understand? I'm representing him. Please punish me instead of him. And he goes through the trials and the travails on my behalf. Once he's done, he comes out. Do you think he will expect me to go ahead again and commit that same offense again? Let's be reasonable. Personally, what will you do? You'll be the one to even kill him yourself. You know, Yoruba say, forgive me, I don't know how to translate it in English, you know. Yoruba say, ba mi nomo mi, but kode no olomo, right? All right, so as in, he can, but the thing is, he wants you to walk in accordance to his precepts. He wants you to walk in accordance to his commandments. This is what, now, I have taken your place. It is no more your life. It is no more who? Your life. Scripture says what? He died. That this is the legal aspect. So for you as lawyers, there is a legal binding. Something that has been signed. I had an issue where we had a carpenter. We asked him to construct a wardrobe for us. And this guy, he didn't do it. We went there, told him, we'll sue you. We called police. Police could not really do anything. The only thing they could say was what? Pay. There was nothing binding. No contract. I told a lawyer in my office. I have lawyers in my office. And I told him, you know, what can I do? My lawyer said, it happened to me too. Just go there. Just go and beg him. Reason. There is no what? Contract. There is no legal binding. But now, once I signed, you signed. There is nothing can change it. Now, that's what God did. He now signed by the blood. We've been purchased by the blood. We've been sealed by the blood. And we are covered in the blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Devotion to God. You now live your life according to the precepts of God, not to your own precepts, not to what you are seeing the world doing. What is in vogue now? How do I dress? The Lord said, no, you can't. When you step out, the Holy Spirit is telling you, no, this is not how to dress. You are trying to talk. The Holy Spirit is telling you, no, this is not how to talk. Somebody offended you. You want to retaliate. The Holy Spirit is telling you, no, don't retaliate. Vengeance is mine. But Lord, it takes you time to do you even avenge my situation at all? It's not for you to judge. It's not for you to make that decision. It's no more your life. Ah, brother, my brothers, my sisters, to be frank, it's not easy. I'm telling you, it's not easy. But that is why we now have the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus Christ said, tarry ye here. He wants you to get to that point. Now, that's what I was talking about Abraham. Abraham, when the Lord said what? Come ye out. He said, come out. Be ye separated. That is that separation. So we could see the pattern in the Old Testament. Be ye separated. He separated him. That's why the Lord separated the Levites. He called them into the priesthood. So separation actually is being called into priesthood. We are being called into priesthood. Priesthood in the sense that our inheritance is God. Our inheritance is God. Our inheritance is God. God created man in his own image, in his own likeness, that we may represent him, that we may be a replica of him on earth. But man decided to sin, decided to go on his own, he
preferred to go his own way. Scriptures are saying, we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has gone his own separate ways. We've all gone our own separate ways. The Lord is calling us back. The Lord is calling you. You have given your life to Christ. Yes, I have given my life to Christ. But is my life going according to the pattern that the Lord has set? Is my life going according to the pattern that the Lord has laid down? It is not your life. It is not my life. Brother, it is the life of God. Pursue righteousness. The third point. With vigor. Don't give up. Though the affliction may be much, don't give up. Don't give up. You look at that. Revelation chapter 2. He said, Antipas, my faithful what? Matthias. He was killed. In one place, they would say he was killed on the line of duty. Right? In the military, they say he was killed on the line of duty. We're also called as soldiers to die. To die. The Bible, Christianity has been so watered down that people are no longer, as in, don't have that mind again to follow through to the end. Once there is any situation, when there is only travail, when there is any, as in, anything that happens to them like this, they will give up. I can't do this. I can't continue. Let the word begin to transform you this morning. Pursue righteousness. We need to live a sanctified life. How do we live a sanctified life? By renewing the mind. Romans 12, 1 to 2. Quickly. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Amen. Amen. Are you blessed? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now he's begging, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service. I'll come back to that reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Acceptable. That which is what? Good. One. Acceptable. Two. And what? Perfect will. The will of God is good. The will of God is acceptable. And the will of God is perfect. Not my will, but yours be done. That's what Christ said in the Garden of Gethsemane. He could say, though he has been telling them, you say, well, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up. And he told his disciples, well, you guys, I will die, and you guys will be scattered. Now, you know that Christ already knew that he was going to die. But when he now got to that point, when it was now time, he was weak. That is to tell you that, my brothers, my sisters, you can't do it on your own. I can't do it on my own. My own strength will always fail me. My strength will fail me. Something happened. I didn't tell my wife. 3 days ago, my daughter was vomiting. And I quickly carried her, trying to take her to the toilet so that I can wash her. Then she threw up again. In the process, I slipped and fell. The first thing that came to my mind was, I wasn't considering myself. I was considering my daughter that I was carrying. I was scared. The first thing I had to look at her, oh, thank God, nothing happened. Trust me, when you get to a particular situation, you will forget yourself. You will forget yourself. The same thing happened to Christ. He got to that point. He was totally weak. And he had to lean on God. He said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup. Hallelujah. Let this cup what? Pass me by. Let this cup pass me by. But later on, he came back again. Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Understanding, he spent 3 hours praying this same prayer. And you are here. You're going through situations. Brother, fast, I can't fast. Brother, pray, I can't pray. Ah! You have not gone to that point. I got to the point where, while I was traveling, I wanted to come out of the bus and just walk into the bush. And just forget about my life. But God's mercy kept me. God's mercy kept me. I have a plan for you. I have a plan for you. This is not you. This is not your destination. This is not our destination. It might look bright right now. It might look as if everything is okay, but God is still telling you, this is not your destination. This is not where God wants us to be. He's taking us. It's a journey. And how do we achieve this? To walk in righteousness, to walk in purification, to be sanctified, to be separated. To be separated. It is a year of Sabbath. But you can't come into the rest. You can't come into the rest. It is by walking in righteousness that will take you into the rest. It is not by your own strength. It is not you. But it is the Spirit that will take you there. That when you get to that point, everything will be working automatically. But it won't work automatically if the Spirit is not at work. If the Holy Spirit is not at work. Have you submitted yourself to the Holy Spirit? Have you submitted yourself to His will this morning? Please, that scripture again. Romans 12, verse 1. Renewing our mind. I beseech you therefore, brethren. Verse 1, please. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service. Now, let me explain this reasonable service. Remember, I told you, if I did wrong, and Pastor Tope decide to what? To pay on my behalf, there will be an expectation. It is reasonable for me. It is reasonable for me to ensure that I follow His instruction. I might not know the right way to go. I might end up doing the same mistake again. It is the reasonable thing for you to do. To offer yourself as a living sacrifice. He's telling you, I have purchased you. Legally, I have purchased you. Now that you have an understanding and I have died in your place, what is the reasonable thing for you to do? What is the common sense? That is, if you look at it this way, the reasonable thing, the common sense for you to do. So, it's an instruction. It is not a suggestion. Understand this. It's an instruction, not a suggestion. Because it is legally binding. It is legally what? Binding. I beseech you therefore, brethren, to offer yourself as a what? Living sacrifice. Holy. And what? Acceptable unto God. So it is not a standard of the world. It is not the standard of the world. But it is the standard of Christ. If you look at verse 2. Verse 2. That ye may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of who? Of God. You are not being conformed to the things of this world. I'm not going into music to win Grammy. I don't want my name to work on that Hall of Fame, whatever. That is the standard of the world. But what is God's standard? The Lord is calling you in your office. You're an accountant in your office. You're a secretary in your office. You're a program person. Are you walking in righteousness? Is the world seeing it? That's what they are doing. That is what the world is doing. That's not what the scripture is saying. If that's what the world is doing, but is that what God is saying? Be ye transformed. Cultivate is spiritual discipline. Ephesians 5:19, please. Ephesians 5:19. Cultivating a spiritual discipline. Ephesians 5:19. As well. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Please, just keep it there. Speaking to yourselves in what? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I don't need a keyboard. I don't need drum. I don't need guitar. I will make melody. I will sing psalms. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm going through situations. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Last week, Pastor posted Isaiah 40:10. He said what? Fear not, for I am with you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Another fashion. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. So, the Lord is with me. I am sure that the Lord is with me. I will not fear. You keep speaking this unto yourselves. Keep speaking this unto yourself. Renewal of your mind. Studying the word. Praying every day. Scripture said what? Pray ceaselessly. Pray without what? Season. There is no season for you to pray. Yes, we are entering our month of prayer. We are entering our month of fasting and praying. But I am not going to wait till that period. I will keep praying. I will keep praying. It is a continuous work. It is a steady work. That's why Abraham was able to get to that point. So he's calling you. Remember I said that he's calling you into righteousness. He's calling you into priesthood that we might do his work. No wonder scripture says, go ye into the world in the book of Matthew 28 from verse 19. He said what? Go ye into the world and make disciples of what? All nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the what? Holy Spirit. These are the three witnesses that witness in heaven. Scripture says in the book of 1 John chapter 5 verse 7 and verse 8. Three that bears witnesses. The Father, the Word, and what? Holy Ghost. The Word, you understand, is the Son, Jesus Christ, right? And there are three that bears witness on earth. Which is what? The Spirit, the water, and the blood. That is why we are being baptized by immersion. That's why we are being baptized. Once you are being baptized, it is no more you. Once you rise, it is no more you. It is no more your life. That old me, that David is dead. That David is dead. Now it is Christ that is rising. Yes, you might be seeing it in my own image. But Scripture says that God created man in his own image. That is not, I am not that image that God created in the beginning. But we've trivialized this. We have trivialized the word. We have trivialized the blood. We have trivialized his mercies. We have trivialized grace. People say, I have grace. Grace knee. We have trivialized it. Let's make to pray for his mercy this morning. Let's pray that the Lord God, anywhere I've trivialized your word, whenever I've trivialized the blood, that sacrifice you made for me on the cross of Calvary, Lord mercy. Lord, I ask for mercy. Lord, ask for your mercy, oh God, for your children this morning. Help me, Lord, that I will not trivialize your word. Help me, Lord, that I will not trivialize, Lord, your mercy. Help me, Lord, that I will not trivialize your grace. Help me, Lord, that I will not trample the Son again, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. My strength will fail me, Lord. Lord, I need strength. And the lebelado shata. Help us to walk in righteousness. Rando sunta la balarea telegeda. Help us to walk in righteousness, Lord. Intalaton de lebeleduza tianananala. Rakanda libele no suta indo shinta lagaria de entele belege dosa taya rakados kapatika tale brenola entele rakadosha tia talara. The Lord is calling us back. The Lord is calling us back. Entele beledosha ta. He said in that book of Revelation chapter 2, he said, I know your works. I know your works. Repent now. Have you been lukewarm? I would rather that you be hot or cold. If you be lukewarm, I will spit you out. Lord, we ask mercy. Lord, we ask your mercy. Lord, we ask for your mercy. Lord, we ask for your mercy. In the name of Jesus. Lando shita libe leke dosa tala. Lende sete debe regedera. Rando shita la baradiyande. Set me on fire once again, O Lord. Lando lebe regedoshata. Set us on fire once again, O Lord. Rakadoshata lebele. That we might be like you. That we might be like you. That we are a representation of you on earth. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We submit ourselves to the will of your soul, of God. We submit ourselves to the will of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. Holy Spirit, have your way in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For you will never forsake them that call upon you. You will never forsake them that call upon you. For you stretch forth your hand of mercy. You said in your word, come boldly before the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy. Lord, we receive your mercy. Lord, we receive your mercy. Lord, we receive your mercy. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.